believe together for utterance tonight and to be able to move further into some of the things that I believe that he would have us to share concerning receiving healing and keeping ourselves healed. And that applies to any of the other promises of God too. So Father, as we come to you tonight, once again, we thank you in the precious name of Jesus for the ability to come together and Father God, study your word. And Father, we know that it's the life of the Holy Spirit that breathes fresh life into the things that were penned hundreds of years ago, but were done so by the Holy Spirit. And tonight, Father God, we thank you for his ability to flow through us to open the eyes of our understanding and to help us to get in position to receive and receive enlightenment about the things that we need to hear from you and how you tailor make that individually for each and every one of us here once again this night. And Father God, we thank you for every need met in advance in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight, I want to start off with a couple of things as review from last week, but for those that were with us, most all of you were with us, that we looked at how healing works with instructions and how important it is that many times, and we see this in the Word of God, and we looked at several examples last week about how that when Jesus ministered healing, there were specific instructions that went with that, which would bring about the consummation or the fullness of healing for their physical bodies. If you look back here several weeks that we looked at the beginning of this series, and as we've been taking our time, one of the key scriptures that we've looked at is Isaiah 1:19-20, where the Lord was speaking through the prophet Isaiah there and saying, if you be willing and obedient, you're going to eat the good of the land. And then in the next verse, he said, if you refuse and rebel, you're going to be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And what we did is we looked at some scriptures, if you recall, that had to do with how even in the Old Testament, the healing of the children of Israel, as well as all the other promises of God, you find that they were conditional. The Lord would say, if you do such and such, then this is what's going to happen. For example, if you go back to in the book of Exodus, when the Lord spoke there in Exodus and the 23rd chapter, he said there in verses 25 and 26, and I'll just quote it to you. You don't have to turn there, but as a reminder, he said, and you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall none cast their young nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. The number of thy days I will fulfill. So what we have here is a promise of God to his children in the old covenant, mind you, that if they served God, he'd bless what they ate, and he'd take sickness away from the midst of them, and the number of their days they would fulfill. Now, the word serve is very interesting in that if you go back and you look at the very roots of the meaning of that word, it means, the word serve means to obey and to worship. To obey and to worship. Now think about that. And there's so much that we could explore in that venue, because the Bible talks about in so many different places about serving God, right? And most of us are very familiar with a lot of those scriptures in the Bible and the New Testament, right? Like, for example, when Jesus said you can't serve God and mammon. Well, now think about this for a minute, and not to deviate too much, but okay, if you can't serve God and mammon, well, if the word serve means obey money or follow money and God at the same time, that's important. But think about the word as it relates serving to worship. Now, remember what the devil tried to do to the Lord Jesus when he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. He took him up on that high place and he showed him everything. And he said, if you'll bow down and worship me, all of these will be thine. Everything. And what is he trying to get people to do, although they don't have some type of statue at their home? People don't, I'm talking to generally now, that they bow down and worship to, but yet the idol in their heart takes them away from God. And if we seek first God, he's going to add the things to our life. So in all of this, this all has tentacles that attach to the promises of God that are very important. And so when we think about that word serve, that means to obey and to worship. Anyway, but I wanted to bring this scripture up here about the promise of God in the Old Testament. And that was based on their healing. Their longevity was based on what God defined as serving. Okay. Now, it is true that any one of us can, in our own mind's eye and our own thought process, put together a description of what we believe serving God is. And this is kind of the finer things we're talking about here as we've been going through and exploring these things in the Word of God and going deeper into these things, because God, you know, you see people get prayed for and they get healed. You know, through the last Sunday, through the word of knowledge, a lady with a hip issue come forward. And by the end of the service, she's like, boy, that's so much better. Well, praise God. Amen. But as we've been looking here, that the Lord knows how to spotlight our situation, but then he'll give Holy Spirit instructions many times to help us to receive the fullness of that, because God's not into healing people halfway or halfway blessing people. God wants all of our needs met. And that's good to know about that. So those promises are conditional. They were in the Old Testament and they are in the New Testament. All right. Now, we brought out here something too, and I'll just touch on it for a moment, about back in 1959 when Brother Hagin had that visitation from the Lord, and the Lord Jesus appeared to him and came into his hospital room. And he had gotten into trouble because he had put in the teaching ministry before the prophet's ministry, and he knew better. And as a result, the Lord permitted him to fall and knock his elbow out of place. Now, that wasn't God's highest, but he had unintentionally opened the door to the devil, to where Satan had a right to go through that open door and attack his physical body. And so when he was in the hospital room and laying there the next day after they'd put his elbow back in place, Jesus walked through the door. And he saw him with his eyes wide open, which was an open vision. And all of these things are so important to us because that they give insight. And the visions that Brother Hagin has, or any other man or woman of God, that where the Lord's gave them revelation of the Word of God, because, again, no vision, no voice supersedes the written Word of God. That's important to always have as the foundation in any of our studies, or what we, if we're reading other books and things. But yet the Lord saw fit to come to him and explain to him over an hour and a half, sitting there pulling up a chair and sitting right next to his bedside and telling him about the reasons why people get sick or have accidents or go to the hospital, or they don't live out their full time here on earth. And he gave him three reasons, and I'll just quickly recapture those and give those to you again in case you weren't with us or don't recall them. But the first reason was that he said, so many of my people do not know what belongs to them. They don't know what belongs to them. And that's still a sticky wicket today. I'm sure you've run into people. Maybe you have coworkers, family members, neighbors, people that you know, other Christians. And if you've ever tried to talk to them about God's willingness to heal, they're not sure about that. And God wants us to be sure. And the only way we can be sure is to find out from the Word of God by a careful searching of the Scriptures, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that produce the evidence of God's ongoing will and his desires made manifest, so that we can say beyond any shadow of a doubt that, yes, it is God's will to heal. And we can see that in a myriad of ways just by knowing that, just like, for example, it's his will to save everyone. Now, does that mean that everyone is saved? Obviously not. They aren't saved, but yet he's still willing, even as it says there in 2 Peter chapter 3, where it talks about, I'm not willing that any perish, but all come under repentance. So God always is working within the parameter of our individual wills. And that's important, because God won't violate our will. He didn't create us to be mere robots. So when we're looking at how to make the connection, and in prayer and in study of the Word of God, if we stay with it, no matter where we, any of us may be in any situation where we have the promises of God, but yet it seems like they're at bay from us and they're not working like they should. Again, you can pray for other people, and many times a family member, you can get an answer to prayer, a healing, a miracle for them one time. But then moving forward, they're going to have to develop their own faith in God for themselves, and to get their faith to work. And also, too, before I go to the second thing, I'll bring up this as a quick note. But back in the 60s, Brother Hagin's sister, Olita, he prayed for her, and she was totally healed of cancer. 100%. But 5 years later, she contracted cancer again, a totally different type of cancer. She had been 100% for 5 years. And then 5 years later, she went to the doctor and had cancer again. So he went to the Lord with this. And the Lord told him and said, well, the first time she got healed on your faith, but she's had 5 years to develop her faith. You're on the radio. You've got certain things written that she could read, and she's done absolutely nothing on her own to develop her faith. And it's unfortunate. She's a Christian. I love her. She loves me, but she's coming to heaven, because this time she can't get healed on your faith. Okay, so that's an important key. And so when the Lord Jesus told him, they don't know what belongs to you, this leads right into her situation. The second thing, which was, if they do know, many of them are weak in faith and they don't know how to stand on the Word of God, which was his sister's situation. Okay, so what does that mean? That means that going over the healing Scriptures, staying with them. Pastor Don was talking to someone here earlier today and really encouraging them about, you know, just keep feeding on the Word of God, because this person is just in recent times come into the knowledge of the things of God in the realm of healing. And so they're just getting a hold of this, but they got to stay with it. And that's important, even when it doesn't look like it's working. Just know that God's word works. And if we stay with it long enough and we seek God long enough, we're going to find out how to put it in place and receive what he said. Okay. Now I'm talking about how we can get this personally. Okay. Again, you can't just always automatically make it work for somebody else. Now, if they'll be in agreement, if they'll believe with you, you can stand with them. But many times you'll find that you just can't do it over once by yourself and see somebody get a healing or a miracle or some other blessing. Maybe it has to do with finances or some other area in the realm of answered prayer. So that's important, okay? We feed on the Word of God, and if we will And I like something Brother Hagin said when he would get into situations to where he would go and pray for someone or for himself for that matter, that he would set himself to fasting and prayer. He would put up, as he called it, his spiritual antenna. Now, I think we all know what that means, but let me explain for a moment. Putting up your spiritual antenna is like putting up a natural antenna. In other words, what are you trying to do? You're trying to put up an antenna to receive some type of signal from somewhere, perhaps your favorite TV, radio station, et cetera, right? Well, we don't just by default call up the radio station or the TV station and say, hey, you know what, I'm not getting your signal. The first thing that at least most of us think of is, well, I just not dialed into the right frequency yet. And that could happen with our radio tuner on in our autos. But it's putting up our spiritual antenna, because we find out, well, there's nothing wrong on the sending end. And once we have that solid, which is really important, having that solid. And the reason I say that is because after a period of time, and if we don't see things transpire, but yet we see it in the Word of God, we hear other people's testimonies, then we start to get frustrated. We have that tendency, any of us, to do that. So what do? Well, if we start seeking and pressing into God, we're going to find him, right? And we know that from the scripture in the book of Isaiah. And I'll give this to you. Let me turn there quickly. I don't have this in my notes, and I don't want to misquote it, but I know it pretty well. But in the book of Isaiah and verse, let me get over here, Isaiah 55, it says here in verse 6, it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Okay? So what he's talking about here, and there's another place to where if we go in, and it's in the book of Jeremiah, to where the Lord speaks about seeking me, you're going to find me. Okay? Now we know that from Jeremiah 29 in there, when he's talking about, I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts of peace, right? Not of evil, to give you expected end. And he talks about how that you're going to find me when you search for me with all your heart. And that's Jeremiah 29, verse 13. So what we do is we start honing in. And a lot of times, and this is just all of our natures, because we all have flesh to deal with, but we have a tendency more to really press into the things of God when things aren't going as well. When we have things that are going on in our life or our body, on our job maybe, in our family, things like that, and we start really pressing into the things of God, that really puts us in a position to hear from God, because God wants us to come to him, right? And think about the scripture there in Hebrews chapter 11, where it talks about in verse 6, it says, for without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Okay? A rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we start diligently seeking him in our prayer closet. We spend extra time praying. We spend extra time in the Word of God, because God can take a scripture, because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, even dividing asunder a soul and spirit. Okay? So the Word of God is alive. So the Holy Spirit, because it's God-breathed, will breathe life into the Word of God and life into our situation. And when we read the Word of God, we may not even be reading about something particularly that deals with our particular situation, but yet the Holy Spirit is so amazing that as a teacher and as a guide, he will enlighten our darkness about something just because We're going to God's word, because when we read God's word and really we begin to focus in on it, God sees that, right? He sees that we're hunkering down, so to speak, and we're looking at the word of God. Lord, I want you to speak to me. I want you to speak to me and to help me and to open my understanding. And that's something that George Muller did. He had the Bristol Orphanage and some 2,000 orphan children that he looked after. After many, many years, he didn't start off there. He started off with nothing but a dilapidated building that he got, the broken windows, etc. And he started moving forward from there. But what he did after several years of seeking God, he learned the principle of, he said, I would read the word of God and I would start praying the scriptures. And I'd start taking the scriptures and saying, Lord, I pray this over myself. And he'd find, and obviously no two scriptures are exactly the same as far as the exact wording, but he would take the scriptures and he would pray that if there was a way in those scriptures that would bring enlightenment to his life, maybe not specifically about the thing that he was presently dealing with in his set of circumstances, but that the Holy Spirit would speak to him. And he said, I would feed on the word of God. And that's how he said when he was, I think, about 93, he said, after feeding my faith daily on God's word and exercising it, it's easier for me to believe God for $1 million today than it was $1 50 years before. But what he did is he fed on the word of God and he exercised it. But what he did that in the process of meditating in the word of God is the Lord built faith into his inner consciousness. Because sometimes we can just, you know, look at the scripture and say, well, and we can all be guilty of this if we're not paying attention, that we fall into the, I know that scripture. I know that scripture, but we really don't stop, ponder, and get quiet before the Lord and say, Lord, open this up to me. Holy Spirit, you're the great teacher. You're not the concealer. You're the great revealer. The word of God says you're the revealer of what Jesus bought and paid for me. And you're also the revealer of the things that I need to know in my own life. And when we go into it with a humble, reverent attitude like that and get quiet before the Lord long enough, and that many times is the key, we do it long enough, we're going to make the connection there. We're going to find out what adjustments we need to make, or maybe we get more information, maybe we get more knowledge, maybe we get more understanding, depending upon where we are individually in our walk with God. So when the Lord said that to Dad Hagen there about if they do know what belongs to them, maybe they know healing belongs, but they don't know how to stand on the word of God and they're not strong in faith. Well, how do we get strong in faith? We continue to put the word of God into our lives. We continue. We stay with it. Even when it seems like nothing's working and nothing is going to work, we stay with it. But we stay, you know, we keep, like one person said, you know, we keep one ear to the pavement, right? In other words, we're listening to what God would say to us, because the Lord will do that. He will, because remember, in the whole basis, the whole foundation of our relationship with God and our walk with God is, what is God? God is love. God is love. And any of us with children, grandchildren, if any of our children or grandchildren come to us and ask a question to where we had the answer and we didn't tell them because we're like, no, I don't want to tell you, would that be love? No, it wouldn't be love at all. quite the opposite. So the Father's love. And Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So the scriptures are clear. But again, this goes back to, as we're serving God, and like we brought out a little bit ago, what does the word serve mean? Obey and worship him. And worship him. Because when we come before the Lord, he will. If we stay with it, He will reveal to us any type of adjustments in our life. I remember something else before we go to point three here, that when Brother Hagin was on the bed of sickness there before he got healed of his deformed heart and the incurable blood disease, as he was praying to the Lord, he was reaching out to the Lord and saying, "Lord, I see in your word that you healed people before, and if I can be healed, how?" And the Holy Spirit spoke to him as he was musing this, as he was looking in the scriptures, because everybody around him said he had to die, right? And the Lord spoke to him and he said, "It's all in the word. It's all in the word." In other words, what he needed to do was he needed to get into the Bible more. Now, of course, this was him, and this was the very beginning of him learning about God's willingness to heal all and how to get in position, how Mark 11, 23 and 24 works. And this was at the very beginning of his experiences with God. And when the Lord spoke to that, he knew that he needed to get to the word, because that's what the Holy Spirit told him. And that's all he told him. He didn't tell him exactly what the answer was, but what he did was he enticed him to, "Son, it's all in the word. That your answer is in the Bible." Well, is our answers in the Bible yet today? Absolutely. Absolutely. And if we need tailor-made guidance about some particular thing in our life, the Holy Spirit, who's sent to be our helper, amen, is here to help us, to teach us, to give us insight into the Father God's plan and how we go about receiving things. Because there's many different ways to get healed. The Bible, we're not getting into that tonight, but there's 20 some different ways that you can be healed in the Bible. And people that were healed in the Bible. So there's a myriad of ways. Now, there's a few of them that are obviously more common that we see: laying hands on the sick, anointing with oil, using the name of Jesus, etc. But the point is that if we get before the Lord in all seriousness, he's going to help us to arrive at the destination of the answer to prayer or healing in our bodies, and praise God for that. So now, the third thing, as the Lord come to him in 1959, he said the third thing, number one, was they don't know what belongs to them, my children. That's the reason they're having all this stuff going on in their life. They don't know what belongs to them. Number two is if they do know, they're weak in faith. So they're not as strong as they need to. That's why it's important that when you're endeavoring to build your faith, you got to turn off all the noise of unbelief, wherever that may come from. If it's people around you that are quote unquote Christians that are full of unbelief, well, don't let that rub off and get on the inside of you. You know, limit your conversation or your interactions. I know sometimes with family members that can be more of a challenge. But the thing is knowing that God wants us healed is foundational. So, but this third thing is that in the realm of disobedience, and again, this is where he got into trouble, because he put the teaching ministry before the prophet's ministry, and the Lord showed him in the scriptures. And that's what Jesus will always do, or the Holy Spirit is, he'll take us to the precepts in the Word of God, because they're there. We may not know them and such, but they're all in there, and they were that day too, because disobedience opens up the door to Satan, and he has a right to attack us. Okay, so that's important. Okay, so that's something that we all need to know. Now, as we move on tonight, one other thing I want to bring up here is that the healing with instructions that we looked at last week is what we saw from John, and you can jot these down. We're not going to go over them again totally, but John chapter 4, verses 46 through 54. And what you notice there in verse 50 is that Jesus, this nobleman, had a son who was sick. And he wanted Jesus to come to his house. And Jesus didn't come, but Jesus said in verse 50, go thy way and thy son liveth. And the Bible says that the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Okay. Now, if you read down the whole story, that his servants met him as he was on the road and told him, your son is living. And they asked him when he began to amend. And he said, well, he began to amend yesterday at the seventh hour. Okay. Well, that was healing with instructions. In other words, Jesus said, go thy way. And what we brought out was the fact of, in all of these, is that Jesus gave instructions and he said, go thy way. In other words, do something. What if he wouldn't have gone his way? What if he wouldn't have done what Jesus said? It wouldn't have worked. But the Bible tells us right there in verse 50 that the man believed the word that Jesus spoke unto him and he went his way. Okay, that's sight unseen. All right. And that's the highest level of faith, because you're not walking by what you see, you're walking by what you believed. And as the Bible says there, he believed what Jesus said. Okay. The next one we looked at was in John chapter 9, verses 1 through 11. Again, Jesus, this man was born blind, and Jesus answered the question, who sinned, him or his parents? And Jesus said, neither. Okay, but that he had to work the works of God while it was yet day, because the night was coming. Well, what Jesus did to this blind man who was born blind, he spit on the ground. He made clay of the spittle in verse 6. And then in verse 7, he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Now think about this. Now, the man's blind, and Jesus made clay of the spittle and put it on his eyes. So still, for all intents and purposes, his eyes are not only still blind, but they've got a covering over them now, right? So, and then on top of that, he's got to go somewhere else from where he's at then. No doubt, I don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us how he went and who took him exactly, but he had to go wash that it off. Now, again, what if he wouldn't have done that? And he said, well, Jesus, you know, can't you see I'm blind? I can't see where I'm going. Why don't you just do it there? Well, that's what Jesus said to do. I think back to that scripture earlier there in the same gospel of John, where, remember, when Jesus was turning the water into wine, that Jesus' mother said, whatsoever he says, do it. Whatsoever he says, do it. And remember, they got the water pots and they filled them to the brim with water. And that was his first miracle that he did, right? So this blind man could have begun to reason out the fact that, why should I have to do this? Why do I need to do this? Well, again, as we saw there from 1 Samuel 15, when Samuel told Saul by the word of the Lord to go, do not spare King Agag or anything of the Amalekites, that he came back with not only King Agag, but the best of the sheep. And we went already through that whole story. What if Saul, which he did, he reasoned it out. Well, Samuel told him obedience is better than sacrifice. In other words, what you think, well, you know, King Agag's valuable alive. The oxen, the sheep, they're valuable alive. And we start reasoning these things out, then we reason out why we shouldn't really believe and obey the simplicity of the gospel, and we get trapped. And this is one of the ways, obviously, that the devil is still working today, just like when he did that back in the Garden of Eden. Hath God said? Did he really say that? Okay. Well, this man, he went his way, the Bible says. And blind as he was, perhaps somebody led him. Perhaps he just had a walking stick or something. I don't know. God knows. But the point is he went his way and washed, and the Bible says, and came seeing. Okay? So if he would have quit at any juncture, what if he would have taken two steps and said, I'm not going to do this. What if we would have tripped and fell down and thought and banged up his knee or some other body part and reasoned out, why do I have to do this? Why do I do this? I mean, see, this is how, if we break it down to how things work today, this is exactly how the devil works with us in any of our lives. We reason out. God will tell us something to do in his word or by his spirit, and we reason it out, or we half obey. And like Samuel said to Saul, is that obedience is better than sacrifice. In other words, by obeying God, just doing it exactly the way he said it to do, that's better than all the thousands of sacrifices that you can give, which you can feel good in your flesh. Well, see, I did this, God, but God says, no, this isn't what I asked for. And many times people, any of us, could fall into the trap that we give something to God that he's not asking for. What he's asking for is simple obedience, simple, just do what he says to do in his word and by his spirit. Okay, so this man, we see this. And then he gave the testimony, if you look down in verse 11 of that same ninth chapter of John, and he told the testimony. They asked him, they said, you know, this was the beggar. This was the guy that was blind. And how were your eyes opened? And he said there, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received. Notice the sequence there. Go, he went, he washed, and he received. Right? Receiving came after the going. Receiving came after the winting. Right? That's not good English, but after he went, he received his sight. Now, let's look at one other one. That's two witnesses there. In John's gospel of the Lord Jesus and him ministering healing. And this could be with any other promise of God, okay? Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. Again, we have here the story of these lepers, all right? These 10 lepers, and they came to Jesus and said, Master, have mercy on us. And he said, go, show yourselves to the priests. And the Bible says in verse 14, and it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. One of them came back and gave thanks, glorified God. And the Bible tells us that he was not just cleansed, the leprosy was not just stopped, but he was the one of the 10, the only one of the 10 that was made whole. Because leprosy eats away at your body parts. And so it's one thing to just have it stopped from eating more. It's another thing entirely to not only just have it stop, but also a restoration of that body part. Can God do that today? Absolutely. But what was it hinged on? Go, show yourself to the priests. And again, what if they said, well, we came to you to get healed. Why do we have to go do that? See, again, the voice of reason can enter in if we're not careful and hinder and ultimately thwart what God has intention and intended in our obedience. Okay? So they were healed as they went. Okay? And then in verse 19, after he'd given glory to God, he said, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. In other words, his faith. Well, how is faith revealed? In obedience. In acting on the word of God, confessing the word of God, putting feet to our faith, corresponding actions. We know from James where it says, he said there, I'm going to show you my faith by my actions, because faith without works is dead. Okay. So all of these individually had the works of obedience. Okay. And that's not legalism. That's obedience. That's what the Bible calls it. Okay. All right. So the key point is you'll find that oftentimes miracles and healings and the fullness of answers to prayers and the continuation thereof are gradual, but they're based on further and fullness of obedience of the individual recipient, okay? So God wills to heal all. Okay. Now, again, we have that as a foundation. Now I want you to look here before we run out of time to Isaiah 38. Isaiah 38. And we're going to notice another spoke from the hub, if you will, that goes to the rim of strength, of our spiritual strength. Just like the more spokes you have, generally speaking, you're going to have more strength, right? In that tire, if it's a spoke tire. Well, this is another key one here. Now, mind you, this is, we're starting off with the understanding that it is God's will to heal, okay? Old Testament and New Testament. But here we have an interesting situation here with King Hezekiah. Hezekiah, not to get too much into the history of him, but he was right in the ship, okay? His father Ahab was an evil, evil king. And so here comes Hezekiah. He reigned for like 29 years. And he started reinstituting, getting things cleaned up and straightened out, and the things going on the right road, so to speak, for God's people. Well, he's going along. He's doing good. He's got the Passover, returning that. In fact, he had prayed for the people at one time because they didn't approach the Lord in their offerings to him the right way. And he prayed for them, and the Lord healed them, right? He asked for the mercy of God to be poured out on the people. So Hezekiah was in the flow. He was in the groove. But then he got into pride. And in Isaiah 38, the scripture tells us in verse 1, it says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die. Thou shalt die and not live. Okay. And this is also told us in another place in 2 Kings chapter 20. Okay. There's a few different places where this happening is brought out in the Bible. Well, so here we have Isaiah the prophet coming to King Hezekiah, because Hezekiah had got off course. Actually, he had got into pride in some things in his reign. And that can happen, especially when we're, you know, we're really starting to move forward and the promises of God, and we see things happen in our life. We kind of get in this false, foundational, mistaken notion of, man, everything's good. Everything's just so good. It's just, you know, and we can let pride creep in if we're not careful. Well, unfortunately, in his situation, he did. Okay. And we know that who'd pride originate with? The devil himself. Remember the five I wills? I'm going to be like the Most High. I'm going to exalt my throne above the clouds. I'm going to be like God himself. Well, he got into pride, and his pride got him kicked out of heaven and dethroned from his position as the anointed cherub. Well, okay, so Isaiah tells Hezekiah, set your house in order. You're going to die. You're not going to live. Well, he was sick. Well, what's going on? Why isn't the Lord going to heal him? If it's God's will, what's going on here? Well, we begin to study the scriptures and look further into the depth of the story here, and we get illumination, okay? So in verse 2, it says, then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord, okay? Now, in other places you can read, and we won't take time to look at it tonight, but he humbled himself of the pride that was going on in his life, all right? And so he turned his face to the wall. So here's the word of the Lord. Hezekiah knows God's real. Hezekiah knows he's seen the hand of God on his life. He's seen the prosperity of God. He's seen the goodness of God. Enemies defeated. He's seen all this. So he knows God's real, right? And then all of a sudden he gets this word of the Lord comes, set your house in order, you're going to die. Well, immediately he did the right thing. Immediately he did the right thing. And what did he do? He turned his face to the wall. In other words, he got in his prayer closet and he said, okay, God, you're not going to adjust. I'm going to have to make some adjustments. I am going to have to get some things straightened out with you. So he turned, the Bible says, his face to the wall, and he prayed to the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how that I walk with thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Okay? So what does it mean? He repented. He was called to remembrance the good things that he did, and he was in the process here. Once he got that word of the Lord, and he turned his face to the wall right away. And that's a good thing to do. We get a bad report or something. Yes, we want to keep our hearts steadfast, trusting in the Lord. But then if this goes on too long, I'm going to reach out to the Lord, put up my spiritual antenna, and I'm going to say, Lord, what's going on here? Why am I not making the connection with you? I know there's nothing wrong with you. You love me. You want me healed. But what's going on, right? Well, that's the wise thing to do with any of us. If something is not working right, if something seems like what is going on here, Lord, do I need to make any more adjustments? Okay? And again, this isn't legalism. This is just in getting our heart, keeping our heart tender, humble before the Lord, and being open to what the Lord would say, and he's going to help us. Because again, the foundation is God is love and God loves us and he doesn't want me sick. He doesn't want me in need. He does not want me in a disadvantaged position walking through this world as a light for him, as a reflection of who he is and how good he is. No, he wants us to reveal how good a father he is. Remember Jesus said there in Matthew 7? He said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, I believe. So it's still true today. Jesus came to reveal the Father. Well, who are we supposed to reveal to the people? We're supposed to reveal the light of Jesus and the Father who sent Jesus. Amen? So, with all of that as part of the foundation, when we go to the Lord, we're not going there thinking, oh, God, you know, I probably deserve this. Yeah, you know, I knew it was good, too good to be true. You were, you know, what I heard about you, it's just not that way. No, that's wrong thinking. That's wrong believing. And that'll be wrong speaking and wrong corresponding action. So we have to stop right there and just say, you know, Lord, I know you love me, but this is not a dispelling of your love towards me. Somehow I missed it. Somehow I'm not making the connection, or I got off track or something, whatever. And the Lord is so gracious and he's so merciful. Aren't you glad for that? Oh, I am so glad for that. The Bible says in the book of Lamentations, his mercies are new every morning. Praise God. Praise God for his abundant mercy and the true grace of God. Glory to God. Well, so we start reaching out to him. And you know what? The Father who loves us so much, just as much as he loves the Lord Jesus, he's gonna help us, and he's gonna help us. He's gonna speak to us, and he's gonna bring to our remembrance certain things, no, probably, or make us aware of certain things that maybe certain things we need to do. And sometimes it could be something natural. It could be spiritual, and we know how spiritual things play out in the natural. It's a matter, it could be for one person. I'm just bringing this up as an example and not saying that this is about somebody particularly tonight. But if somebody doesn't take care of their physical body, if they don't, for example, get their proper amount of rest, then they can do damage to their own body, because our bodies are still unredeemed as far as the full benefits of having a glorified body. We don't have that yet. So we have to take care of our body. We need to get our rest. We need to have proper nutrition, right? Now, I'm not talking about going overboard, but I'm talking about just legitimately endeavoring to eat right, live right, exercise, get sleep, and get rest. I mean, there was a good reason that God wanted us to rest one day in seven. And I remember the story of one man of God. He mightily used of God, a prophet of God, and he had contracted cancer. He was in his 50s, and he went to the doctor, and he knew the doctor told him what he had. And on his way home, he's like, Lord, I'm going to find out what this is. And the Lord spoke to him and told him two things that he needed to do. And one of those was, he said, you've been saying you're going to take a rest. You've been saying that you're going to rest, because he was go, 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 and you haven't done it. You haven't done it. He said, okay, Lord, I repent. Forgive me. And in one, that particular aspect was taken care of. And he went back to the doctor in a short period of time and couldn't find a trace of cancer. Couldn't find a trace, because he got Holy Spirit instructions. He knew exactly where he needed to make the adjustment, and he did it. And there's several illustrations like that that I could give to you tonight about that. But Hezekiah here, again, back to the Word of God, he set his face to the wall, and he pleaded his case, and he made some adjustments. And then, as we read on in the scripture, Isaiah didn't even get out of the courtyard, and the word of the Lord came unto him again, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, in other words, turn around, because he didn't get very far away. And he said, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I've seen thy tears, which is indicative of and speaks to the fact that he humbled himself of his pride. He humbled himself and repented and turned to the Lord. All right. And the Lord said, I've seen thy tears, heard your prayer, and behold, I'm going to add unto thy days 15 years. Okay. So is God confused? Maybe somebody who would just have a casual reading of this and say, well, you see, God changed his mind. Did God change his mind? No. What the Lord did was, he said, under the present circumstances, this is what's going to happen. Okay? So Hezekiah didn't waste any time. And again, he turned his face to the wall, and he pled his case, got things right, and the word of the Lord came back. And because Hezekiah changed, God was able to change what was going to happen in his life. And I trust we can all see this, because it's so important that we take these things to heart, because, again, God doesn't want any of his children sick, diseased, hurting, lacking for one day in their life, because sickness is not glorifying God. It's not. Even though many in church tradition teach such things, outlandish things that they are, it's not true. So that's important for us to know. But I think this is a good place to stop here tonight.